All right, welcome back to the Fan Hockey Show. Four Nations Faceoff Championship game tonight. We will be keenly interested, and I'm sure our next guest will be as well. Ken Holland is a multi-time Stanley Cup champion, part of two Canadian Olympic triumphs, most recently helped construct an Oilers roster that went to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final, and now is with the NHL as a hockey operations consultant, and he joins us now on Zoom. Thanks for coming on, Ken. We appreciate it.
Great. Nice to be with you guys.
Oh, we're on phone. Not on Zoom today. So a little apology.
Is this in case one of the grandkids gets out of hand and we don't get a visual of this?
Yeah. My wife and I are babysitting our four grandkids under nine here for a few days while our daughter and her husband go on vacation. So that's why we're on the phone.
I called that one out, Kenny, because the thing we got said, Kenny's babysitting all his grandkids, and there was no help in the text. I said, there is no chance that Ken Holland is looking after all of these by himself. There is a wife involved in this.
I'm a little bit involved.
Yeah, a zone defense. You're a part of the zone defense, playing a key role in the zone defense. Okay, so I'm sure it's captivated you like it's captivated everybody else, but this Four Nations tournament, Ken, has it exceeded your expectations? To which extent has it exceeded your expectations over the last couple weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I was in Montreal last week for the games there. I mean, the atmosphere was unbelievable. It was like a playoff atmosphere. Right Wednesday night there, Canada, Sweden, you could tell there was real good intensity from the players. A lot of pride representing their country. The players have been wanting a best-on-best for a long time. And, you know, it's been almost a decade now since we've had best-on-best. COVID really interrupted a lot of best on best tournaments. So I think it's been unbelievable for hockey. The numbers were Saturday night, Canada, US, the viewerships in both countries was unbelievable. And I expect it'll be even greater tonight. I've got lots of texts from some friends of mine in the US that are excited about tonight's game. So should be a great game. And I think obviously it's exceeded, I think, everybody's expectations. It's been unbelievable hockey and must see TV.
You've been involved in so many on top of the Stanley Cup victories. Is this one comparing on your resume as far as the feel for the tournament?
You know what, Mike, I think what's happened, obviously, American hockey has been really growing here over the last, let's say decade or more with the U.S. National Development Program. They have multiple first-round picks every year. There was a real rivalry, Canada and Russia, and obviously Russia has not been involved in international hockey. So this has really become, I think, it's Canada, U.S., we're across the border. Now you add in what's happened politically over the last few months. It really added up to an unbelievable experience and hype and intensity. So I think it's going to make for an unbelievable game. But I did Saturday night, 9 seconds in. I mean, there was three fights. I mean, the place was buzzing in Montreal. And great players on both teams. And it all adds up to nothing like I've ever seen. I was involved in the 2016 World Cup and the Olympics in 2010 and 14. But I think because it's Canada and the U.S., it's rivalries. That's what sports is all about. And there's a great rivalry. I don't know when it's been, 20, 30 years since Canada and the U.S. have really played a big game like this. So it's all added up to, I think it's one of the biggest games in a long, long time in our sport.
Do you feel, and I agree with you, I've never been a part of it. I mean, the under 17s and our 18s, but never at the level that you've been at. But I mean, the Stanley Cup playoffs, yes. And the intensity that involves. But I was saying to Elliot Friedman, who was just on, it's different because the drop-off between your top guys and your bottom guys on your NHL team can be a little bit larger drop, where these guys, they're just all awesome. So when you have the best players in the world coming out giving you 13 minutes worth, the intensity is just, it's indescribable. But if you put your GM hat on, which you're going to get another one soon, we all know that, and we sit there and say, okay, the only downfall I've seen in this tournament, And you knew it was going to happen, and it doesn't happen in all-star games because they go around in toe drag and nobody touches each other, is there's been some injury repercussions. Is there anything, and now that we've heard this great news about this is going to happen every couple years, is there any way you can see how they're, and I don't know how they do, I mean, because everything about this game we love is the physicality. But there's going to be guys going back Saturday banged up to their teams. Will there be any pushback a little bit from, I think that general manager, most hockey guys, but owners have got to be concerned about these players not being able to come back in the second half.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I think, Mike, I can't remember, it was 1 year, I think, John Tavares
yep.
got hurt at one
yep.
of the, and I remember in 2014, the Olympics, we lost Zetterberg, back injury, had to have back surgery. We lost him for the rest of the regular season. I think the 2002, Stevie Eisenman went. I think he played in the Olympics, and then I don't know if he played another game for us, maybe one or two. He had injured his knee, and then he played in the playoffs. So, you know, it's happened before. You know, I just think that certainly when you're a manager, you're watching the game tonight. You know, obviously you're intrigued on one sense at the game, but on the other, you're just nervous that one of your these are the best players on every team that you're going to lose one of your best players. You know, you look at Charlie McAvoy now, so. Obviously, it's a concern from the managers and the ownership level. But I also think the players, you know, being around the players the last few years, they have desperately wanted the opportunity to play in these big games, representing their country in international play. I think that, you know... This is all the first time in 10 years. Like, you know, next year is the Olympics. Maybe if you start to have it more regular, there's still going to be good intensity. Maybe it won't be quite as physical. I don't know. But certainly I think that is added. You know, you think about the Czechs the other night. Charlie McAvoy stepped up and hit Connor there a couple of times. It just adds to the intrigue. It adds the intensity. When the players are intense and playing physical, it adds to the emotion. It adds to the fans' interest, and I think that's the risk that you're going to take. But I guess as a manager, I also look at if you're playing NHL games, there's a chance players are going to get hurt anyways. Ideally, you'd like, I guess, your players to get hurt playing for you. But anytime you're playing games, you're running the risk that somebody's going to get hurt, and that's, I guess, the risk that you have to take.
Have you ever been one of those situations? And I'm sure you have. And I didn't have this written down, so if I screw it up, I apologize. I was thinking the other day how it must feel. Going into the tournament, I thought about it because you've got Pittsburgh's coach coaching the U.S. and Sidney Crosby's an injury question. And now you've got Don Sweeney, the GM of the Canadian team, dealing with an injury to one of his top defensemen on the U.S. team. Have you ever had a situation like that where you were running a Canadian team and one of your players, I guess you probably did, but you said you lost Zetterberg.
It was Zetterberg, yeah.
But has there been any other situations like that where you have to, because I think these guys kind of break off communications. Like, I think it was like Brad Marchand almost broke character yesterday when he had to all of a sudden talk about how much he cared yeah. about Charlie McAvoy in the midst of all this. And they had a no text rule that he broke because he cared about his friend and his teammate. Have you ever had somebody that was on another team, and it might be just as easy as Zetterberg, where you had to deal with an injury from an opposing team that was really your opponent at that tournament?
You know, obviously the Zetterberg one. I mean, I'm just going to reflect back when Z went down. When Z went down, I think he played the first game, and then I'd got actually our team doctor Tony. One of our somebody was over there and texted me and said that Zetterberg was in pain. I think he was laid up for almost a week there in the players' stay, and then they ended up flying him back to New York, and he had back surgery. You know, you can't. I couldn't really get near Henrik. Back then, it was in the Olympics, and so you know, these are the things that you deal with. There's no manual. Certain things pop up, and that have never popped up before, and you got to figure out quickly how to deal with them. And I think that's exactly what you're dealing with now. You know, with Brad Marchand, what you're telling me is, you know, obviously. You know, you're trying to cut communications off because for the game, but certainly when one of your best friends and best teammates, and you're going to be back with them with that team on Saturday, he's going to reach out. So they're all unique instances. And again, I there's no manual. You got to kind of, as a player, as a coach, as a manager, you got to quickly make your experience and all these things quickly factor in a few moments that you got to decide if you're Brad Marchand, am I going to text him or not going to text him? And I think that, so to answer your question, I think that so many things happen that are unique, that are different, and you got to deal with them the best that you possibly can at that moment in time.
We are chatting with Hall of Fame builder Ken Holland. Okay, so we have a international competition now with an NHL rulebook. You've been a part of international winning teams that have, you know, gone by the IIHF rules. Are we seeing that maybe the NHL rulebook is best for these competitions? Or maybe if we're on the topic of injuries, the IIHF rulebook that takes some injuries and physicality a little bit more seriously, I suppose, would be better suited for it. Do you have any thoughts on, you know, the NHL rulebook being applied and how different the international competition has been because of it?
Well, first off, in this tournament, it's all NHL players, so that makes it way easier. You know, when you go to the Olympics, there's, you know, NHL players, and then there's players from countries that are not NHL players, so it's a little bit different. You know, so these players are being, you know, playing by NHL rules with NHL officials, and it's the way the game is played, you know, every day, all season, year after year for them. So they're accustomed to what they can and can't do. I would assume that when this tournament is over, that's probably going to be one of the things that will be discussed, between the NHL, the NHLPA, and as they push towards Milan next year in the Olympics, the NHL referees have gone to the Olympics. So, you know, this tournament is unique because it's all NHL players. And when you play international hockey, that's never the case. There's lots of players that are playing in those international tournaments that haven't played in the NHL. So that's certainly something that's probably going to have to be talked about going forward.
An NHL question for you. I'm sorry, Ken. When you're going through this as a general manager, while these tournaments are going on, when you look at it now with the parity in the league, is it getting much more difficult to make trades with so many teams still kind of in it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the trade deadline is not what, you know, you start here on Monday or Saturday night and you're a couple of weeks away from the trade deadline. Teams are going to have to make some quick decisions, obviously, especially in the East where it's all jammed up. That certainly is going to affect the mentality and the trade deadline. It's an exciting time of the year. I mean, I'm not involved in it this year, so I'm really looking forward to kind of watching here what transpires over the next 2 weeks and how teams, whether they decide to buy, sell, or they're close and they just want to hang on to their team and make a push to get in. I'm as intrigued as everybody else. Those are the conversations that are going on really on an everyday basis. When you're the manager, you know, you're talking to your people and you're ownership and everybody, and you're watching games and you're working the phones with other managers to find out what's going on there, what they're thinking, who's the buyer, who's the seller, who might be available. And those are the decisions that you got to make over the course of the next 2 weeks. So I'm anxious to watch it myself.
I've got to put you on the spot with a hypothetical. It's just a hypothetical, though, I promise. If you make a trade and you acquire a superstar player and give up some pretty superstar assets, let's say maybe 3 weeks ago, and then you've got a certain amount of time to try and re-sign the player.
How hypothetical is this, Mike?
Just hypothetical. How hard is it to make a deal if you decide it's you might not be able to get the player signed? At what time out do you start turning the plank and saying, I may have to move this player? How far out do you have to go before you may have to start looking at the other option of having to retrade the player?
Yeah, that's a tough one because I'm not even as you're mentioning, I'm not even sure if that's ever happened. You know, that's another one of these unique situations where I'm not sure if it's ever happened before.
I wasn't sure either, Ken. It's obviously, I was just talking about it's the Rantanen situation, obviously, but I was like, it's a crazy one because I was just so blown away how impressed I was for them to make a deal like that. And then you don't know. We're going through the same BS here with Vladdy Guerrero, right? You're hoping and praying that they get him signed. But it sounds like, man, if they can't get him signed, what's going to happen here? I can't. You know, you either have to load up and hope the Carolina Hurricanes go for bear this year, or you have to possibly go through the possibility you've got another DeGensel on your hand.
Well, what ends up happening, Mike, is there's going to be a bunch of information that you, the media, and the fans don't have. You know, when I was 100%. A manager, you got a bunch of information that other. So, you know, you were looking from the outside. What information? Obviously, the conversations that are going on between the player and the club. The conversations that are going on between club to club when the manager's working the phone to find out, what's out there, what's available, who might be interested. So, that information is going to be major factors in the decisions that you make. I'm on the outside now, so I'm just sort of watching everything play out, and I know that 32 teams have a bunch of information that I don't know about, and it's going to factor into the decision that they make. So, you know, anything that's going on, that's a unique situation. And again, there's information there that the people involved have got that you and I don't have, and that's gonna factor in what transpires again over the next 2 weeks.
I just found it's amazing. It's the same thing. I tried to scratch my brain. Oh my God, you've been through way more than I could not remember a scenario where you give up so many assets. It's not like the assets given up were not treated like a rental. And all of a sudden, the player may become a rental. It's a crazy one. It's just, there's so many moving parts. And I know they have information. Clearly, they wouldn't make the move unless they knew an idea of how much the player expected to sign for, I understand. And I don't have that information either. I've never seen something so fascinating with such a world-class player being acquired that if he's not signed, he might be moved again. It's just remarkable.
No, I mean, even up to this point in time, there's been some big, big, big trades. It's
crazy.
Some trade deadlines, there's just a lot of, depth players and little pieces, but we're still 2 weeks out, and there's been some massive moves, and might be more here in the next 2 weeks. So it's great for the hockey fans. It's exciting, and it shifts the power a little bit in terms of who can go on a run and who can't go on a run. So this is a real critical time between now and the deadline for teams that want to go on playoff runs.
Ken, I can't let you go without asking about Sidney Crosby. You competed against him in 08 and 09, won in 2010, 2014, 2016 with him. You've seen his entire career unfold at the managerial level, and now he's here, 37 years old, leading for Canada, and he'll probably be there at the Olympics next year at 38. Like, when you reflect on his career, what stands out to you?
Well, a lot of, he's a pro's pro. I mean, he's a winner. He's a role model. He's a leader. He's built his legacy on playing the best in the biggest games. You know, we played them in 08. In the Stanley Cup Finals, we beat them. You know, that they were a young team. They learned a lot of lessons. They came back in 09, and they beat us. And obviously, he won back-to-back cups, I think, in 16, 17, or 15, 16.
16, 17, yeah.
Certainly, yeah, you think about the gold, the gold, golden goal there in 2010 in Vancouver. He just plays his best when the stakes are the biggest. And that's what great athlete. He's one of the greatest athletes in our sport, in the history of the sport, in my opinion, based upon what he's done in, statistically in the regular season, and then at the most important time in the playoffs and international play. He's a leader in that locker room. He's going to be somebody that guys are looking to today. You know, as you're going through, you're getting up and you have breakfast, and then you go, you're on the bus and you go to the rink and you have your morning skate, then you go back for your pregame meal. You know, there's just people that everybody else is sort of looking at a little bit to see how they're responding. And he's just going to be business as usual, and he's going to have a calming effect on everybody because he's been there before. He knows what it has to do. And, you know, when he's a teammate of yours and he's in the locker room, it's a tremendous advantage to have somebody that's accomplished everything that he's accomplished, but still has been probably, I think he's one of the most important players on the Canadian team. He's been unbelievable the way he's played in this tournament. So he's one of the greatest superstars in the history of our sport, in my opinion. And I think I read where Doug Armstrong says he kind of has the presence of Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux, wow. And I would totally agree that he's got a presence to him, and he just has incredible respect from everybody. But he's earned the respect, you know, like the way he's treated the game and the way he's treated his teammates and the way he's played in the biggest games and how he goes about his business. We're all fortunate as hockey fans and as Canadians to be able to watch Sid and have Sid on our team tonight.
Very, very well said, and it's so fun to watch. Ken, does a new gig allowed you to tip it up with Gosselin anymore?
Pardon me?
Have you been out to golf out with Goose at all with the new gig?
No, I haven't. I went to Phoenix for 5 days in January. Goose was going to come, and couldn't make it. But I haven't played. I played a little bit. I've watched lots and lots of hockey. I've kind of really enjoyed the games. Are unbelievable, and I'm really looking forward to tonight's game. I mean, it's once in a, I don't want to say a lifetime, but it's once in a long time that you get to watch a game that means so much to so many people. It's going to be great tonight, and can't wait for the game to puck drop.
That's awesome. I told him as well. I said that you've won all those cups. I said you know you have to give that Memorial Cup back. I said it's like Forrest Gump. It's been in every picture I've ever seen. It's been in more places in the world.
But yeah, anyways, I'm happy for them. It was great for their franchise to win the Memorial Cup and to beat again. You know, you talk about rivalry. Certainly, London was one of their is a rival for everybody in that league, and to win in the last minute of the game was unbelievable for all Saginaw hockey fans.
It's going to be a good one tonight, Ken. We appreciate the time. Get back to that zone defense. We'll do this again soon.
Thanks, Ken.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
That's Ken Holland, Hall of Famer. Time now for the Four Nations Faceoff Report, brought to you by Intuit QuickBooks. You know what it is, Canada and the United States. Four Nations Faceoff Championship game on Sportsnet, 7 p.m. Pre-game preview with Ron, Kevin, Jen, Kelly, D.A., and Elliot. 8:20-ish puck drop or shortly after 8. It'll be Connor Hellebuck versus Jordan Binnington. Connor Hellebuck has stopped 45 of 47 shots in this tournament. That's good for a .957 save percentage. Binnington has given up 8 goals in the tourney, leads the tourney in minutes, .892 save percentage. USA maybe a little bit beat up heading into this one. McAvoy unavailable. Brady and Matthew expected to go. Austin Matthews expected to get the green light as well. But Canada feels maybe a bit of a healthier team coming in, maybe peaking at the right time. Canadians will have Cale Makar, didn't have Cale Makar in the last meeting. We'll have Seth Jarvis in. Travis Konecny is going to be a healthy scratch. It's expected that Canada's lines will stay the same. McDavid, Stone, and Point. Crosby, McKinnon, and Reinhardt. Mitch Marner on the third line. We're all set and ready to go for the Four Nations Faceoff Championship game. That was the Four Nations Faceoff Report, brought to you by Intuit QuickBooks, a complete view of your business all in one place. That's how you business differently. When we come back, Jim Hiller of the LA Kings will join us, and a duo from Boston, and we'll go through the mailbag. That's next on the Fan Hockey Show.
Big opinions and in-depth conversations covering the Leafs, Jays, Raptors, and the NFL. The JD Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour 2 of the Fan Hockey Show. Justin Cuthbert filling in for Maddie Marchese. Happy birthday, Maddie. Of course, Mike Feuda, who is on the mend, fully ready to go tonight. This is no ill effects from some illness this week. You mentioned it a couple times with Elliot Friedman in the first block, the wrestling comparisons to what we've seen at the Four Nations Faceoff. I guess you could go multiple directions with that, given that it was rock'em sock'em out there on Saturday night, at least with the United States and Canada. But part of that comparison was the Royal Rumble aspect, and Friedman tweeting, you know, you don't know who's going to come out next. And that's been a big part of this week and the lead up to the championship game tonight, with so many players being thought of as potential options. The will he or won't he with Quinn Hughes, who shows up on the ice in Vancouver and not on a private bird to Boston. And then Brett Pesce and Tage Thompson being summoned just in case. And it doesn't feel like that just in case is going to be needed at all. But it begs the question, because clearly the NHL was kind of making things up as it went along to a certain extent, like conversations, compromises, negotiations with players being injured, unavailable, maybe injured, maybe unavailable. Like, what were your thoughts on that? Should they just have opened this up and been a free for all? Do you think it's a situation where the NHL bent too much and allowed guys like Tage and Pesce to show up when there really wasn't a reason? Clearly, Quinn Hughes didn't make it more of a story, but that would have been quite the story if Quinn Hughes just showed up after pulling himself out. What do you make of all this?
It's exciting. And I'm not questioning anything that's been done about this tournament, because it's been absolutely magical. I was just wondering if you think about it, because there was so much structure about, and I know it was, I think it was from a public relations standpoint, that we've got to put out these six guys. Right, and for Canada, they've all been. I've laughed because the games that have mattered, though, those six guys have all been either the core of the scoring, like on both. They've been outstanding. No, but he's been he's been as advertised. Mm-hmm. He's such a huge part. There's no, from thinking about early in the season, maybe Marchand, that's the right pick. Okay. I just thought that what is wrong with having either a larger taxi squad, and if the players don't want to do it, they don't want to do it. Maybe they get a phone call, or having the ability to say, I mean, Harley was clearly not at double rink skating when they gave him a call. He mm-hmm. thought he was on. So what is the difference between saying after game one, if someone is legitimately hurt, and obviously there has to be a legitimate injury because these are your initial roster, is saying, okay, I'm going to call Tom Wilson. And he does show up.
Yeah.
And maybe logistically it's not possible. But obviously right now, again, if the whole point is best on best, then if you have 2 days between those decisions to be made in your final game, why can't you alter your best if you feel there's an area that you could make you better and the other team can make themselves better?
Yeah.
And then the final is the best on best, not just the best that started the tournament versus the best that started the tournament.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And it's not logistically, but either than giving yourselves a larger taxi squad where you're not like sitting there like, okay, like I don't know how it went from, and they'll figure this out, but it's just a thought process. And it comes back from Elliot. Again, it's from this, because could you imagine if they just announced, you know, if they announced today that, you know, if for me, I want Quinn Hughes in this game, mm-hmm. right? That's the thing. This isn't a way to find out a way for Canada to get an edge. Okay. But I would love for them to say, okay, we want this to be the best on the best. So we know we played the States. This was a physical game. We need to add another Canadian to the lineup. Mm-hmm.
We're going to have LA Kings coach Jim Hiller on in about 10 minutes, just as an update there. I agree with you. I mean, I think the Quinn Hughes aspect of this, the Quinn Hughes chapter of the story, I thought was impeccable, like impeccable drama. And it's something that you can only get when you're making up the rules a bit as you go along, right? Like, I think, and clearly the best on best isn't there. It is there, but there without Quinn Hughes. No. And it wasn't there Saturday night without Cale Makar.
100%.
And I understand, I'm with you 100% on the taxi squad. I mean, why not? If you want to be on the beach and you want to be in the taxi squad, that's cool. But if there are a couple guys who want to be on the taxi squad and are available, I think that's also great. I this will never happen, but I would love to live in a world one day where the men mimic what the women do with the rivalry series, where there are games played at different checkpoints of the year. And it is part of the storyline of the season. And again, the PWHL just started, so it's not like a perfect comparison here. But this year in the PWHL, there are players basically trying out for their national team every single night. And the opportunity to get called up by Canada at the United States in the next international event. And if you played this thing dispersed over months, we're talking about it all the time. Sam Bennett scored 12 goals in the month of January. Is he going to be a mainstay on Canada next month at the rivalry series in New York or whatever? Like, that would be an awesome discussion to continue to have. It being fluid, I think, is a very cool thing because it's born on merit. Seth Jarvis, well, he's playing tonight, didn't work out, just as an example. Tom Wilson could show up in a second and add to your lineup. And I think that would be awesome. I do think logistically, though, it's a bit of a tough sell to everybody.
Yeah. I'm just saying, because this could not have come off any better than it has up to now. Like, from other than the injuries and this little bit of a gray area about the I still can't figure it. And it's so, I feel so bad because it's out of the two teams, maybe the Rangers aside, who seem to have been less chatter about, the two teams that have had the most chaos this year have been the Boston Bruins and the Vancouver Canucks. And now here we are in a downtime where we're all supposed to be kumbaya enjoying hockey.
Yeah.
And the Boston Bruins have lost their best defenseman and we can't figure what the heck. And Quinn Hughes is sitting in a non-contact jersey, apparently being flown in to be the guy who's not actually allowed to play. And there's more. Like, Rick Tocchet must be just sitting there. And then he goes out and watches his new traded player go toe-to-toe off the opening face-off and go,
yeah. And Petey have a forgettable tournament.
Oh, poor Petey. Anyways, I want Canadian teams in the playoffs, but it's been a tough frolic this year for the old Canucks.
Yeah, it has been. I guess one last point on the taxi squad nature of it. Who it's not fair to are the guys who made the team and are suddenly, hey, you should have taken that beach vacation because you're not playing, right? I think that would be...
Life's a beach.
Those would be the guys who would be...
I would be,
and the NHLPA would be defending them.
Okay, they're still there. It's the same thing. Then that's why I would...
And you got to earn your spot on the roster.
Okay,
still.
And Travis
Konecny's not playing tonight.
Then that's why I would, if it's possible... Large in the group, or large, I mean, that's a great group, is
expand the group
mm-hmm. that are there to be chosen from, if that makes more. Then at least you know if you're on the player. It's not like, okay, we just took him off the beach, now you can go to the beach. Mm-hmm. That's not what I mean by this. But it's
do it in a tropical locale, and there are no problems.
Well, and it's also not necessarily, it's also could be injury related, but it's not just he's hurt, so this guy's coming in because he's the guy. You have a bigger pool to choose from.
Do you have a main roster regret? Is it Tom Wilson for Canada?
For me? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I had him on, and it's not a, and that's not a, because I had my heart, you guys, I know you guys were jumping on me the other night with my buddy Bukla about Drew Doughty. What's he doing now? What's he hanging on?
Hanging on, yeah. Hanging on.
I got Ailish. Ailish jumped in and just reminded you guys that he's hanging on, but he's hanging on pretty well.
He's been, yeah.
For a guy that had four games under his belt.
All amend. He was hanging on, now he's coming on.
Like that. The first game, he was hanging on. But yeah. he also said to me that this is the fastest game. This is a guy that's played in some pretty easy. This is the fastest hockey I've ever played in my life. Mm-hmm. And he had four games to prepare for it. So I'm not worried about him. But it's amazing for someone like him to be taken back by what he's going through, because he has seen it all at every stage of his career. So as an older player going out and watching this American team fly around, it should be interesting.
Want to open the mailbag?
Sure.
You don't have any like music that I got to hit?
Well,
I don't have any
Maddie has some music.
He just plays a little jingle?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, let's open the mailbag without music.
It's by Steve something and the Sailors. That's his favorite team.
Oh, is it?
I can't remember. He's got a band that he likes, the $50 t-shirts.
I heard him say it, and I got to be honest. I've never heard of them either. Brett in Red Deer. Okay, we were talking about Rushmore a little bit earlier.
Sutter.
How Gretzky, Lemieux, or if Crosby's on the Mount Rushmore, I guess we should pose this to Elliot. Who's he taking off? How Gretzky, Lemieux, or?
Ooh. Maybe you have to be, you're going to need a bigger boat or a bigger mountain. Yeah. I thought, first of all, I'd want to wait till the career's over, and that's not a back. I thought this, when we were talking about Crosby initially, I think as far as players and their performance wearing a Canadian jersey, he's on the Mount Rushmore of players playing for their country and their performance playing for their country. I would rather answer that question with a little more time and not a cop-out when their career's over. I think... That's why I thought your point to Elliot was perfect. It's like the same thing. Like if all of a sudden, hypothetically, we say that Crosby all of a sudden, this guy's first ballot Hall of Famer. Like he's going to be talked about now in the top five players ever, maybe, I think. For me, he is. Outside of just Canadian hockey. He can still add to that. If he all of a sudden they win tonight, and all of a sudden he says, hey, I do want to go be bunk beds with McKinnon in Colorado, this could just grow and grow. That's like we just had Kenny Holland on, right? If Kenny Holland, he's already on the Hall of Fame. He's on the Mount Rushmore of general managers. If he comes back and wins another cup, So what do? We just change the hairstyle on the mound, maybe put dimples on him. He can still add to a resume that's Hall of Fame.
Of course.
It's not a knock on a person. They can add to their greatness.
Unless you are the greatest without any ability to counter that. There's no discussion against it. There's an ability to gain, to add, to be more than you are previously or are now.
There's probably going to be, it'll get to that point that you're going to get back to dating yourself, the style of play at a certain time. You know, the one out of that one that bothers me the most, and I absolutely love him dearly, and I got to meet him, know him personally, is Bobby Orr, because his career was so shortened. Imagine this would be a no-brainer. Like, it'd be a lock forever. But the picture of what he had, it's a lesser version. It's like we said, we had Eric Lindros on the other day. Can you only imagine if they had remained healthy, what they could have accomplished? It's great discussion. And again, that's the part about this, I said, because when you have to make those decisions, I prefer when you're in management, you make decisions, there's accountability, here's the trade.
Right.
These are debate questions that are really solid, but there's no wrong answer. There's really, it's opinionated answers. That's why I love when Anna, who's coming on, she usually says, she gives her answer and she says, and that's the only answer, and that's, I'm going to die on that mountain, and there's no other bridge to cross, and there's no conversation.
Right.
That's a great question. He can find his way onto that. He's going to make an argument to be on that mountain.
Yeah, and I don't think winning tonight, winning Olympic gold medal, will hurt if he's aiming to be on that mountain. He is the athlete of my lifetime, so I can't not put him on there. Again, I didn't watch Gordie Howe, so...
That's fair to me, but I watched Bobby Orr. I met Bobby Orr. And once you met him, I watched more and more. And then you realize, oh, my God. Especially at that time, just to watch the way he glided through guys at another level and the toughness that he did it and the way they attacked him through that and how he got through it. But it's hard. I mean, even he watches these guys now in awe of. But there's certain guys that I think you could have thrown him into any era and they would have been that same hockey player.
By the way, Drew Doughty, once hanging on, now coming on. Connor McDavid's coming on in terms of getting to that level of Mount Rushmore.
Well, that's what I said.
He might be the most talented player that's ever lived, what we see on a night-to-night basis.
Is it like the cup? Do we just start building?
We might have to build onto our
mountain?
We might have to add a ring. Or at least four more heads. We can add Crosby, maybe Ovechkin,
Connor McDavid. They did that in L.A. They screwed up. Is Jim coming on soon?
Two minutes.
They screwed up. And this is when I don't care. I don't work there anymore. They screwed up. They did this. And the one thing they do, they use awesome things like where they've got Brown statue, Luke, these guys all deserve statues. But they did this thing after we won our second cup, where there was this mural outside and it was fabulous. And they had like Quick with this, and it was about our team. And then they had Brownie holding the cup, Kopitar. And then I said, they brought it in and it was magical. And here I am sitting in the back. I'm not the art guy. And I just said, where's Drew? And there was like silence in the room. And they go, all these guys, like there's two guys that we need to keep here forever. And one of them's not in this thing. And they went, oh man. And so they had a whole meeting. If you go to Los Angeles, go look, you'll find this thing. There is a complete mirror. It's this magical thing carved out of the wall. Like you see these things like art. And then there's a photo of Drew.
They just slapped a photo on there?
And kind of made it part of, it's magically slapped.
Magically slapped. What does that mean?
But it's not. Well, you go look at this and you'll understand. Clearly, the guy didn't spend as much time doing the Flintstone thing. And then there's Drew. He's on it.
Okay.
And but you not, can convince
not, not
if you've
sculpted
ever met,
in the same
if
way.
If you ever meet Drew in person, you know you can probably talk about that he was, we put you first and then we built this sculpture around you.
A little extra effort for
him. He'd get it. And this coach, when the coach gets on, he'll understand. This is Drew Doughty, who said to me, when I walked in, for two things he said to me, he said, he came up to the office. He was just bumping around, and he goes, "Futes, I want to vote for Obama." And I go, "Drew, we're Canadian." Back downstairs, and then we were in Detroit, and he's looking at the lineup. And then Daryl Sutter told me this, and they're looking at all the Russians, and he goes, "You know, best Russian up there is that I hate playing at Rafalski's." I'm like, he's from Michigan or something. Drew clearly is the most hockey brilliant guy that comes up with some stuff that is just absolutely off the charts.
Okay, so we give Sidney Crosby so much credit, right, for the way that he's impacted this group. Are we not giving Drew enough credit for the way that he's potentially impacting this group?
He's going to get it. But Drew's always been, I bet you could put him up there. His competitive nature is probably just as much as Crosby's. Mm-hmm. But being the leader has never been a natural thing for him. Being the best, he's always been somebody that people had to tone down. You know, like it was his minutes. He wants the team to win it, but he's so competitive that he loses focus. Whereas I think Sidney Crosby has just been a natural leader through and through. And then being around people, he doesn't have that. And this is not a knock on Drew. I think he's one of the best. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, no doubt in my mind. And I talk to him about this tournament, how much it means to him. But I don't think for one second, I think he's had to be around, he's had the privilege of being around Matt Green and Stoll and being around these champions and Justin Williams, as Kopitar has too. Mm-hmm. And I think that's helped them evolve into leaders they are today. Whereas, of course, Crosby got to sit around the Mario Lemieux of the day, but he had that instinct in himself. Mike Richards had it as well, in my opinion, too. But we were so spoiled with leaders there. So guys like Drew, they either have to make an opinion. Like, Sidney Crosby came in, and Drew hates when we tell this story, but when Sidney Crosby came into the league, nobody had to tell him to be in incredible shape. We had to talk Drew into being, you're already the best player in the Ontario Hockey League by a country mile. Imagine what this rig is going to look like when it's in NHL conditioning. So that those guys, it's a natural progression. But he has that fact. He has a factor, but as I'm sure Coach Hillier is going to tell us, Drew's a little bit louder and a little bit more. When Crosby's mic'd up, it sounds a little different than when Drew's mic'd up.
Let's bring in Jim. Let's bring in Jim of the LA Kings, obviously head coach of the LA Kings, who knows Drew Doughty very, very well as well. And Drew, Jim, you know that this was a lot for Drew. Like, Drew wanted to be a member of Team Canada. Why do you think it means so much to him? And thanks for jumping on with us today.
Sure, guys. Well, I think it would mean a lot for anybody. But, you know, I just heard a little bit of you guys talking about Drew. The thing about Drew is he just loves hockey. And if there's a hockey game that's going to be important, he wants to be part of it. And that could be a street hockey game, as far as I know from Drew. He just loved the competition of it. And if it's important, and if it's an important moment, I can break it down even further. If it's the last minute of a game and you got to hold the lead, he wants to be on the ice. So that's where he thrives, and that's where he excels.
Coach, when you think about that, because your team, and this is one thing, and it wasn't a negative thing that I was exploring when I was talking about the Kings. I felt it was going to be a challenge because you guys have played exceptionally well in the style that you play. And now you have an elite world-class player come back that's used to playing 27 minutes. And that's what I think it took about a game before he started playing those for you. But it's an adjustment for everybody because those minutes, and they're going to the right guy, but it's adjustment for everybody to come back and learn your system and be used to maybe there's nights there's not going to be in as many minutes. And now I talked to him the other night, the same thing. He went from wondering how much he's going to play till he's backed up to, you know, 2.25 now with Team Canada. But what are your thoughts on that with a player like that, that they expect and demand so many minutes, but they're worth those minutes?
Yeah, well, yeah, his is an interesting case because he had been out for so long. We really did not intend him to play him anywhere near as much as we did. First game, he played extremely well in Florida. And it was a tight game. He maybe was going on adrenaline a little bit, so we ended up playing him more than we wanted to. And then we lost Mikey Anderson, who had been playing 24, 25 minutes a night after that. So, you know, all of a sudden he sucked up extra minutes because Mikey wasn't in the lineup. He wouldn't have played those minutes for us as much as he did if Mikey had been there. So it'll be a little bit more balanced when Mikey gets back and gets healthy. But, of course, you know, there'll be nights where we feel like we just got to keep putting him out there and he wants to be out there.
How is again, I'm assuming Adrian's back in town?
Yes. Yes.
Do these guys just give us an idea of a player? So when would his plays last game? Saturday night?
Would have been Monday.
Monday. So Monday. How would a player like that, when does he arrive? What's his routine? When does he start skating with you?
Well, I talked to him. I let him know that, you know, if he needed until we play Saturday night, if he needed until the pregame skate Saturday morning, we were willing to give him, you know, all that time. Come in and skate with us in the morning and let's get going at night. But he felt like the way he stood is he wants to come in and practice with us tomorrow. and then be ready for Saturday. So I really wanted to give him as much time as he felt he needed, but he thought he probably just needs till tomorrow and he'll be ready to go.
So Four Nations wraps up tonight, but as you mentioned, you know, NHL teams back in action, at least from a practice standpoint. What are the guys saying about this tournament? Obviously, it's been a huge success. I think it's caught a lot of people off guard, but just the chatter, the conversations in and around the facility, what are guys saying about the Four Nations faceoff?
Oh, I think they've enjoyed watching it themselves. I'm surprised by how many of them. It's the old story, does the postman go for a walk on his day off? I'm surprised that over the break that they paid as close of attention to it as they have. And, you know, I really think the Canadian-U.S. start captivated everybody, even more so than probably they thought they would have. So that's really been a topic of conversation. And then, you know, it was really close. The Swedes didn't lose a game. Like, it was really tight. It was good hockey. So, you know, I know it's turned out to be Canada and the U.S., which is, you know, probably what a lot of people hope for. But I think the hockey from start to finish was really good, so it's kept everybody engaged.
In your conversations, maybe not with people exclusively with the Kings, but is there concern about the damage it might do? You mentioned Kempe can have all the time in the world to be ready and wasn't on the ice, obviously, between the U.S. and Canada. But how much concern is there in NHL circles that all these guys are going to come back a little beat up ahead of the stretch run in the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Oh, I think that's a concern for every team. I mean, the physicality, how hard they're playing, how committed, you know, all teams were. And you're seeing it. And, you know, you've heard of some injuries. I'm sure there's a bunch of guys that have been banged up in some ways that you never heard about. And they'll be playing probably nicked up when they get back to their clubs. So that's a big concern for everybody. But I think everybody understands for the greater good of the game, and it's been an unbelievable advertisement for the league, that's just the price you have to pay. And if you've got, you know, more players there than some teams, well, I mean, that's the price you have to pay for having some of the most elite players in the world. So I think as far as the greater good, everybody has to just accept it.
Yeah, it's been absolutely unbelievable to watch. I wanted to ask you this right out of the gate. Sorry, we had so many NHL head coaches last week. So I know you're back in game mode. Did you get a chance to get away? We had so many guys take away. I mean, Arneil was in Hawaii, and I think you'll be happy to know that Knobloch and Huska couldn't get out of their province because their kids had to go to school, so nobody got away. I've lived there, Jim. Do you stay there? Do you go to Taranay, or do you get some time to go home? How did you get your time off?
Well, you know what? We're fortunate here, Mike, and as you know it, we headed north to Mammoth Mountain and did some skiing.
Oh, so wow. That's awesome.
We're one of that few group of coaches who said, let's go find some snow and some cold.
Smitty took Smitty to Hawaii.
Yeah, we were heading for Hawaii.
Smitty went to Mammoth?
No, not Smitty. No, I took my wife.
Oh, okay. Kids. I apologize.
Smitty found some time for his kids.
Good stuff. That's awesome.
Okay, Jim, we're talking to Jim Hiller, head coach of the LA Kings. You were promoted this month last year to the head position. What's been the biggest change or adjustment for you going from, you know, longtime assistant in the NHL to an interim head coach to a guy running the show in a city like LA?
I mean, I guess, you know, just the overall organization, the travel, everything that comes with the non-coaching part of it, I think would probably have been the biggest adjustment. I'll tell you what, though, the chance in the summer to like build a staff, you know, get some time to prepare for a season, for a training camp, talk through with the staff to say what, if any, changes do we want to make, what do we want to emphasize, you know, that's the part I think that's been probably the most rewarding. And then, you know, to have that time to think it through. And then try and go and execute on a plan for the season. So that's been the best part about it. And you know, the hardest challenge is just the overall organization, knowing that it's just not coaching. There are other people that you have to make sure that you're coordinating with.
Everybody needs some time, Mike, whether it's coaches, mentally, just a little bit of break. It's probably been nice for everybody to get a little bit of a break. I guess is Drew, and I should know it, is Drew the only one left? Come back?
Drew's the only player, but we have Darren Granger is with the Canadian team, and Mike Buckley is with the U.S. team as the goalie coach. So just one player left, but we certainly have. We're well represented in the organization.
I got to give a shout out, Ray. We talk about the Mount Rushmore of coaches, and we talked about Crosby. This Darren Granger, that's where I'm talking to Mike. You've got to see him firsthand. He's going first ballot Hall of Fame in his position as equipment manager. This guy, how many has he got now? He's got his two cups. I think he's both gold medals. He's touched every base and plus the most games. Absolute legend. The only thing that could keep him out is typically, before you were there, Jim, I don't know whether you know, he broke his neck surfing when I was there.
I heard that.
Wow.
I heard that.
It was scary.
I was here for a while with that story.
I think he missed about 3 days and then he came back with a neck brace on. He's just incredible. He's a machine. Sorry.
Well, and the greatest thing about him, it's not unlike some players that you come past. Every day you see him, he's got a smile on his face. He's happy. You don't know if he won, lost, if he got an hour of sleep last night, if he got 6 hours of sleep. He's the same calm, efficient, happy, good to be around guy. And the trainers, more than anybody, I mean, they've got the hardest job, as we all know.
And
the sleep deprivation, you can't even imagine. But to look the same every day and be happy and energetic is probably his biggest strength.
Well, Danny, you'll know when Dana's pissed off. The good thing about Grange, you'll never know if he's getting gray hair.
We just wonder when Dana isn't pissed off. Those are the times we're looking for.
Oh, Dana's a legend as well.
Last one for me, Jim. Kings are third in the Pacific Division as we speak. 2 points up on Van, 5 points on the Calgary Flames, 7 games between now and the deadline. Are we entering Saturday night, the critical stretch here for LA in a playoff pursuit?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we feel pretty good about what we've done in really the first, I don't know, it's not quite two-thirds, but we'll call it two-thirds. And I think this break was probably good for everyone. We felt it was really good for us. We felt like we redlined it. We had a tough January, didn't score a lot, pushed hard right till the end, to the break. And it was just time, I think, mentally for all of us to step away. And this has felt a little bit for me like the when we started the COVID season, the shortened season, we had like 3-4 day training camp and then boom, jumped right into games. And it's kind of felt like that a little bit. So I think everybody's pretty re-energized and we're going to see some great hockey from the players and the teams down the stretch. I think they're fresh around the league and it's amp up time. It's going to be a sprint.
Jim, best of luck over the next couple of weeks. Enjoy the game tonight and hopefully we can do this again down the line.
Thanks, Jim.
Okay, guys. Yeah, good talking to you.
That's Jim Hiller, head coach of the LA Kings. You mentioned Adrian Kempe. I think he crept up a little bit on some casuals of hockey viewing, I suppose. Really good for Sweden, I thought.
He's been that good for a while. Yeah. I think, and it's funny because he was a guy when he initially came in, was fairly one-dimensional. And I think when Drew said it, I realized, because Kopi didn't want to play with him initially, he's really benefited from Kopi. He's got a 200-foot game, no joke. Incredible release, skater, great. This kid, I mean, his next contract's going to be a treat, but he's got everything. And he was one of those guys that has crept up. I think last year when he won the skating at the All-Stars, people started to, plus he looks like James Bond. He's got a supermodel wife.
Yeah,
that helps. But he's world-class.
Okay. Adrian Kempe, drafted in 2014. That's a good year for you, Mike Feuda. We'll take a break. Anna Dua on the other side. We'll continue with the mailbag, real mail, fake mail, whatever. We'll get to it. Anna Dua on the next block to tee up the Four Nations Faceoff Championship game. That's next.
Teeing up the biggest games of the night, it's the Fan Pregame with Ailish Forfar and Justin Cuthbert.
Weekdays at 6 p.m. on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts. Final block of the Fan Hockey Show, Cuthbert and Feuda ahead of the Four Nations Faceoff Championship game. I repeat, I can't believe I'm here. One of the biggest games that we're going to see in quite some time. Bigger than Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final last year? I'm not really sure about that. We'll see how I feel tonight, but we know it's an important one tonight. Canada and the USA for hockey supremacy, and it has to be a big game because, well, she is on weekly, so I guess I can't say that. But we need Anna Dua on to tee up Canada and the United States, given the split jerseys, given the multiple allegiances, given the group chats with people on both sides of the border, I assume. Anna, we appreciate you jumping on.
It's been tough for me. It really has. I had a fan tweet at me and asked me if I was like from the Peace Bridge, and I was like, pretty much, yeah, actually.
So what is the conversation right now going on? Like, this is an unbelievably important game. It's evolved over the last 10 days or so. But yeah, you're familiar with people on both sides of the border, both sides of this rivalry at a professional level. So like, what stands out to you as you talk about this game in the lead up to this game?
It's just been so electric. I think Brandon Hagel described this whole tournament really well, where at the beginning of it, he said, like, I didn't know what type of hockey I was going to see. I thought it might be some sort of all-star game hockey, but I was like ready to run my head through a wall or something. So he was just like having the time of his life. And we saw that in that first USA Canada game as well, just coming out in the fights all in those first 9 seconds. But that's a good description, because a lot of the players didn't really know what they were getting into. This is the first time this tournament has existed, but it's very, very clear that now this is truly like best on best hockey, and everyone's so excited to be here. USA Canada rivalry game in the finals, like, the intensity is through the roof for sure. And I think this is going to be one of the best hockey games I have seen. It might be the best hockey game that I have ever covered in person.
And I'm Mike Fuda, longtime listener, first time caller. We do know that you have picked the U.S. to win this.
Mm-hmm. I did before this game. So I'm actually going to amend this based off of everything I've seen since I've been here. So that was before the tournament. I thought the Americans had a better team. I thought Connor Hellebuyck was going to be the MVP of this tournament. But after the animosity that came out in USA Canada the first time around that we saw them, it's very clear that Canada is going to pull out all the stops. And the energy within that locker room is just absolute insanity. So do I think on paper the Americans have a better team because of their goaltending? I'm still going to say yes. But just being around here talking to all the guys this morning, the U.S. had an optional skate. Every single Canadian was out there on the ice this morning, and they're all excited. They know what this game means, and it's just very clear how bad they want it. And that wins hockey games. It does.
Does this recent change of emotion and pick affect the bet that you have? Myself and Marchese. Justin's here. I hope you noticed. Marchese's birthday today.
It's his birthday today.
Yeah. So we just called it. She said, it's my birthday. I'm going to stay at home.
We took the day off. I worked on my birthday. So
it's one of those things. He's got a day, apparently. He's got days. What do you call it?
He had some days. He took some days.
He said, I got some days. We had to work on family day. And then he just said, I got some days. And I said, okay.
I wonder what he's doing right now.
He's probably watching us very concerned. he's got both of his potential replacements on the same television set.
Ooh.
Happy
now
birthday,
you're
going to
pit me and Dua
happy
against
birthday,
each
Maddie.
Other.
Well, there you go.
I don't know about that.
I'm just kidding. Maddie Marchese's probably having the best. He's probably, I hope that his kids, I know Jackson doesn't have a clue what the hell's going on, but hopefully his daughter is just, Abigail's just enjoying daddy for a day.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
It'll be pleasant. Because you've got to have some downtime. Because I know his, oh my God, watch this look. Because I know the last time he was this jacked up about an event, it didn't quite go his way when the Chiefs played the Bills.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Now,
different approach.
He's a guy that I knew.
Why did we need that game? My
okay, just
God.
Because I know that kind of, you're a Bill fan too. But however, he knows that Marchese has not changed his pick. He's sticking with the USA.
Okay.
And we have a bet. And that's just my Canadian, I was just not getting off the Canadian bridge. How are you with your pick? Where do you think Austin Matthews' game? How big is this for him tonight?
I think it's a massive game for him for sure. The sentiment around both teams really is that this is pretty much like a game seven. And it's very clear that he's taking this super seriously. It's tough because he's had some injury issues again in this tournament, and it is an in-season tournament. There's a lot that's been going on, and you have like teams trying to navigate what it means for the players to be here. It's not like a completely like stoppage of play after you have the most important part of the season coming up right after this. So I want to say that there's stuff happening with Austin that may be the reason behind why he hasn't been the most prominent figure for the Americans in this tournament, which is fair, right? Like, you still have to balance out what you're doing, but it's very clear that he's excited for this game. And, you know, like having his teammate on the other side too, that's one of the coolest things I think about this tournament, is like, it's in the middle of the year and you have guys like Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner facing off against each other in the final. Like, they're both excited about it. It's just great to see.
I think there's many people who want to see how they are going to compete against one another.
And some Leaf fans asking if they're going to compete at all.
Yeah. Hot take.
It was just a bit of a shot. I mean, listen, I think something has been left to be desired from both their games. Mitch Marner clearly had the moment in the tournament with the overtime winner.
Austin Canada Matthews, wouldn't be in the final without that.
Exactly. It was a key moment. It was a key moment for sure. But if I'm doing like the pressure index things, and maybe this is just my world because we're in Toronto, I think two of the top guys are going to be Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews, given that there's still a lot to play for even beyond this tournament. I think that also applies to Connor Hellebuyck and Jordan Binnington. It's almost mirroring in that sense. I mean, Binnington has won big games, unlike the other three, I suppose, at the NHL level. But Connor Hellebuyck is still waiting for that success in massive, massive moments. Is there any reason to doubt that he's going to be able to deliver other than, hey, it didn't go well against Colorado last year?
Connor Hellebuyck was the reason I had the Americans winning heading into this tournament. The only reason I changed my pick is because, as I said, of the emotional factor and what I'm seeing just being around all of the guys this morning and all the vibes heading into this game. But if I eliminated that, like, Connor Hellebuyck was always the X factor for me. I think he is the best goalie in this tournament by far. I think he's an elite goalie. I know I said it was a hot take, but I was like, he needs to be in the conversation of the best goalie in the NHL because we keep talking about it heading into the season. At least it was always like the Russians, it was the Igor Shesterkin show, some people were talking about Sorokin, Vasilevsky, it was always those guys. But Connor Hellebuyck, for some reason, in that number one conversation, never found a way in. But he's playing lights out hockey during the NHL season, playing lights out hockey here at the Four Nations. The pressure is definitely more on Jordan Binnington between the two netminders. I think that's been the biggest narrative. There's no player on Canada's roster, I think, that has more pressure than Jordan Binnington in this game, because that's been the big question mark you have, as I've said multiple times, three very good Canadian goalies that are not on this team. And so being the number one guy for Canada, you have something to prove. This is the biggest stage. And he's been playing well in certain situations. He actually is doing better than Connor Hellebuyck in like high danger opportunities. So that's something interesting to note, at least where the shots are coming from in this game. And if Canada's offense can kind of overpower the Americans, but the Americans have shut down defense. It's just going to be such a good game to watch. Like, when I look at these players playing against each other, it's just awesome to see the best of the best go against the best of the best in their respective positions too. It's just, I'm getting excited thinking about like watching like Connor McDavid, Nathan MacKinnon, Sidney Crosby playing against like Jacob Slavin. Like, that's peak hockey.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. The one thing that that's trying to resonate for me is when you talk about that is the pressure on both of them. I think the pressure on Hellebuyck is greater amongst the U.S. hockey contingent because they think this is time, and their time is now.
Sure.
It's not nationwide across the country. The pressure on Binnington, because this entire country is hinged on this game, because hockey is that much more important. And I think that's what's been amazing about this tournament, because the U.S. has shown that they have caught up to us and possibly surpassed us with regards to the way the game's played now, skill and everything. And there's that part of us that said, okay, and then they matched our physicality, which we stood up. It wasn't like it was a, you know, you could tilt it either way, but the energy was still there on Saturday.
They matched it, but did they survive it, given that the Tkachuks seem banged up, Matthews right, but that's banged what, that's, up, but McAvoy that's, not playing?
But that's part of it. Anna, what's I want your fairy tale ending to this tournament. How do you want to see it end? Like specific.
3-2. Canada winning in overtime.
Who scores the goal?
Nathan MacKinnon passing to Sidney Crosby, yeah. OT goal. Your dad doing the same call again. That would be my
make his job easier. Yeah, that would be a fairy tale. It would be a fairy tale for sure. And you mentioned stars, like Sidney Crosby is the star, I think, of the tournament so far. MacKinnon is the reigning Hart Trophy winner. I wonder for you, is there anyone that's become a star over the last 10 days that wasn't when they arrived in Montreal, in Boston? Is there someone who has, you know, emerged, become a household name, become someone that people are going to care deeply about because of their participation in this event?
In terms of production-wise, I would say that for Team Canada, like, the big guys that we expected to produce are the ones that are producing. And for the USA as well, like, I don't think anyone's shocked with the tournament that the Tkachuk brothers are having. They're just following their family dynasty in international hockey as well. Mm-hmm. I would say off the ice, though, the player that I think has captured the heart of a lot of Canadians is Brandon Hagel. Oh, my God. Like, every day that guy's a quote machine, and he just captures the sentiments of what hockey means in Canada so well. Like, starting off the game against the U.S., him saying, "I'm not going to say no to a fight against Matthew Tkachuk." Like, that's the mentality you want to really rile up your team. And him talking about how he wants to play for the flag, he's not playing for the cameras. Like, Brandon Hagel has definitely at least won the hearts in the media room. And I think, like, he's just become like a spokesperson for describing what hockey means to Canada during this tournament. So I said, like, after this tournament, like, I've become a massive Brandon Hagel fan. I think he's just a good player to have around.
You actually, and I'll give you credit, you had him on your initial team,
your initial team.
Canada roster, and they talked me into it. And I honestly, not knowing, I would agree with you that of all the players that I admire as a player, I think he's done the most to enhance his, and it's not what it's about. I just think you're coming out of it. Certain guys have played well, and the biggest chapter is still yet to be. It's going to be written tonight.
My vote, by the way, would be Werenski. Like, obviously.
Oh, but I mean, I'm talking Canada.
He's a star. Yeah, just in general. Like, I think he's entered the public consciousness with this tournament.
Yeah. Werenski's my.
He would have been in there before. Like,
he should be, but.
Ridiculous NHL season.
Yeah.
No, but it's the same thing. He's been talked about for the Norris all year, but it's nice now because it's, in fairness,
people know
it's the
why
Columbus
now.
Blue Jackets. They're seeing it firsthand. Man, this guy has a chance to be the MVP of the tournament if the U.S. pulls it off tonight and he continues to go the way. And he's obviously going to get with extended minutes with McAvoy being out. The atmosphere tonight is going to be crazy. Where are you going to be watching it from?
I'm going to be there.
Okay. Thanks.
Press box, ringside.
Appreciate that. Press box, ringside. All your pictures.
Okay, yeah.
I figured it out. Okay.
Okay, I was just confirming that.
Just checking
I will
it out. Yeah, I'll see you.
Right next
can we
to the,
you down?
Right
okay, next you're going to be at... Where's that? You're up against the glass? Because I saw your picture against the glass. Like, we've seen you up watch games from the prior. Yep. You're working tonight?
I am working tonight, yes. And I'm doing Canada post-game. I thought they were going to give me the Americans post-game just because I am.
They heard you changed your pick.
But they gave me a little treat, and I get Canada post-game. So hopefully it's a winning locker room for me tonight.
For it to be a winning locker room, you know, I think changes had to be made to the lineup based on what we saw. And I think the thing that may have unlocked Canada in this tournament is putting Braden Point up with Connor McDavid. Has that been the switch that has really, you know, kicked things into gear here for Canada?
I think so. The issue is in tournaments like this, and we had this concern going in as well, like there's such few games that they're playing. So it's really tough to find chemistry between guys. And sometimes you just have to like make these tweaks, like Seth Jarvis is in tonight, Travis Konechny's out. And as a coach, like John Cooper's a phenomenal coach. You got to trust his coaching decisions. These little tweaks like help. I don't know if it would like unlock the issue because there's no issue. They just don't have time to figure out exactly who should be playing with who for the best chemistry because they're playing a handful of games to like get the championship here in the Four Nations. So I think it helps, but like these little tweaks that John Cooper's making, like he's making them for a reason. And you hope that whatever he sets up in store for tonight works out for Canada. And that's all you can really hope for, because at the end of the day, like you need more time to actually craft a team and know where all of these guys are going to play with each other.
I have to give this to Anna because I want her to just think about this tonight during the game. My game within the game tonight, I've got, because I think both the Chucks are hurt. I mean, they're not broken, but they're hurt. I think that if one of the injuries is something that keeps them from progressing in the game at the talent level they're capable of, that they do something to take somebody out with them. Not an injury, but something, a game within a game that takes a Canadian player off the ice, whether either through penalty or through just action. I just think the brilliance they've shown with their game within the game throughout the NHL career, but they've taken it to another level. In my dream scenario, just, you know, because it's close to yours, I don't want it in overtime because I'm getting old and I don't know whether I can take overtime. Okay, I'm not like Marchese, 36. Okay, these are tough ones. However, I like your call. But I went Crosby passing to, and I think Hagel's been the best, but the most impressed I've been with a guy that I've grown to like is, I think Marchand has been such an ambassador for the game throughout this thing. And for a Canadian, with all the adversity going on, and it, to me, the two takeaways from this tournament that have like pissed me off the most, the injuries have just bothered me. That's just happened. But the anthem booing has really bothered me, okay? But I would like, from a fan standpoint, if Brad Marchand were to score the winner in overtime in Boston, to see the crowd reaction, just to see what – it'd be amusing for me. Plus, I'd love to see him do it. But I think that would be my ultimate ending.
in Boston too. It's so funny to see like how NHL fans are translating to this tournament. I like tweeted out earlier today that I've never seen this many Auston Matthews jerseys in Boston. Like there's a lot of Boston Bruins fans here wearing Auston Matthews Team USA jerseys. He's the captain of that team. And then the other way around, it's just interesting for me to see like how the fans are going to feel, because it's going to be a conflicted house if Brad Marchand is the one who ends up scoring the game-winning goal for Canada. But hey, you know, regardless of what happens, a Toronto Maple Leaf is winning a championship game in Boston. So that's a win for Toronto.
There you go. That is a great spin on things. Anna, you're going to have one of the best seats in the entire house. Enjoy tonight's game. And I'm sure you guys will unpack everything next week.
She's the best. I'm glad she thank you for clearing up that you're in the ring tonight too, Anna. Appreciate that.
I'm sorry. Okay. I flew down here yesterday morning.
Trust me. We travel. We follow your travels. We know you're not in Utah. We know we flew you into the game and you're working the game.
I will be there.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Anna. We appreciate it. That's Anna Dua of Sportsnet. Who's at the game?
I assumed I was kind of hoping for like press box down the seat at ice time, because I know when she's working, she's got different angles of the game, and it's going to be a great game to watch. But I'm glad she cleared that up, that she's actually in the building.
Fute, simple question without a real simple answer, I think. What are Canada and the United States playing for tonight?
I think hockey pride right now. I think they're playing for a bigger picture, because I think now... And I don't want to have to make one, because honestly, I want to say tonight that Canada found a way, two nations that have now played the hockey equally as well, we found a way to get it done in adverse situations in Canada. I think it matters. I think the game matters. I do think it helps the country of Canada right now, because right now we're kind of feeling a little kicked in the stones in a lot of ways with what's going on with this whole crap about whether you're a 51st state or what all that stuff that goes on that I try and block out. And I love the feel the players do, because I know that my best, when I'm still talking to my American buddies, we're having fun with this. Okay, we're not talking about whether we're going to be buddies when it's over or, you know, what's going to happen.
Yeah.
The world. This is what makes sports amazing. And I love when there's other people included in it. I think people miss out on the fact, and especially the players, when you're looking across the Russian guys in your team, in the World Juniors, in the Czechs and stuff, that more teams are involved in that game within the game for even the guys that aren't going. But I want to see an amazing hockey game. I don't want to see any injuries. I wish that Hughes was playing, so there's none of, like, I wish the best were always healthy in a game like this. But I think there is a sense of whose game is it right now.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, there's no more unifying thing than watching Canada compete for something real. And this has turned out to be a real thing.
Very real.
And what's great about this is that we get the unifying thing regardless, right? Regardless of result, obviously I want to see Canada win tonight, but everyone's going to be watching this game unified and cheering for the same thing. Some people harder than others, and some people with a little bit more of a chip on their shoulder than others, but we get that unifying thing tonight because of what this game represents.
And the way they set it up too, it's like you get to carry the belt for 2 years and then you defend it again.
1 year.
One year. Oh, that's right.
This is a nice little that's 3 out of 4, and then
this
we go so every cool. other.
So that's cool about it, too.
And this was supposed to be just like an appetizer, just like the feeling out process for the Olympics. I don't know if it could be much better. And again, the NHL rules definitely helped that, and the NHL rules certainly gave us the game that we all crave on Saturday night, but we'll see how this one differs.
Nothing today. Would be better, and she said it's hearing your pops call. Another legendary golden goal would be quite nice. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I think he'd be pretty excited for the opportunity for this to go past regulation.
Have you picked Canada all along?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, I have stuck by it, and I've been on this other side of it too, where it's hard to pick these teams. And I said only one team's going to have got it right. Whoever wins tonight, they're probably still going to question. Imagine what we'd have done if we had Wilson, or they're going to say we won, but man, we would have been better with Tage Thompson. Or imagine us with Canuse. But somebody got it right. It's going to be fun to watch.
The reality of this situation is that you could play this game tonight 1,000 times and it could be 500 to 500. And that is a great thing. Not because the U.S. has caught up to us in some degree to make it
that's
500
competition.
Versus 500, but because every single time these teams play, we don't know what's going to happen.
It's
and
like,
that makes
it's
it
like the
a
women's
beautiful
game now. I love
proposition.
It.
That's it for the Fan Hockey Show. We will be back tomorrow to unpack all of this. Thanks to the crew. Thanks to Mike Gentile, producer, and thanks to you, Fuchs, for having me on. See you tomorrow.